Please listen carefully.
Well, hello world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And clearly, we are now sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy. The birds are singing. It's warm outside. I'm feeling optimistic, worthy. Happy Friday, Christy. Podcast. Today is Friday, April 24th, 2020.
Before we jump into today's solution, Summers, how are you doing?
We are doing pretty well. We had kind of a chaotic day yesterday in that everybody in my house had to basically work from one room because of some internet fluctuations. It was very, very busy in our living room yesterday. Overall, we're looking forward to the weekend. Not that the weekend changes things dramatically. It's not like we're going to go to a big party, but it'll be nice for the kids not to have school and for us all to have a little breathing room. So it's warm, it's pretty, it's spring. I'm feeling pretty good today. How about you?
I'm all right today. I'm actually glad it's Friday myself. Not that it's going to be much different tomorrow. I still have some work I need to do. Yeah, these 23-hour work days are really kind of heavy.
You think?
No, but I'm good. I'm good, and I'm glad it's Friday.
How's the cilantro doing?
Oh, it's growing. I'm contemplating adding some tinfoil to the back of the garden wall because it's not getting a lot of sun, and I want them to grow.
Well, remember yesterday we were talking about how turtles were everywhere on the Optimist Daily, and then I had giraffes on my vision board, and so the giraffes had to show up everywhere somehow?
Yes.
I realized where they showed up. I have 9 giraffe toys for my baby girl.
Oh, yes. And I've seen her giraffe Binky. Yes.
Exactly. Her giraffe Binky. She has 2 Sophies that are these squeaky chew toys. She has giraffes in every book. So it made me laugh last night when I was reading her 2 favorite bedtime books, which are Dear Zoo and Bunny Goes to the Zoo. And on the second page of each of those books, there's a giraffe. This child will absolutely love giraffes. You and I together can ask the editorial team to look for some good giraffe stories for next week.
Okay, Summers. We'll see if we can add to your giraffe fixation for next week. All right. Well, shall we move into reading our stories for the day?
I guess that's kind of what we're here to do. So yeah, our first story today comes from Urban Development, and it's one of our last stories for Earth Week. It's been wonderful to share this with you all, and we've loved seeing you share and spread these stories on social media. Thank you for everyone for doing this. Hopefully this one will inspire you as well. Paris is turning its motor-friendly streets into post-lockdown cycleways. To minimize social contact and maximize daily physical activity, many cities around the world have been giving over road space to cyclists and pedestrians during the pandemic. While the idea is to give people the sort of generous space generally allotted to motorists, it's also giving cities a chance to experiment new ways of organizing the streets. Paris, for instance, has been rolling out emergency bike lanes for the use of key workers and others during the lockdown. 650 kilometers of cycleways, including a number of pop-up Corona cycleways, are set to be ready for May 11th when lockdown is eased in France. Before the coronavirus crisis, Mayor Anne Hidalgo promised that every street in the city would become cycle-friendly by 2024, but fears of gridlock caused by increased car traffic once the lockdown is eased are allowing officials to accelerate Hidalgo's plan, existing in Plan Velo, transport changes. On January 29th, Hidalgo revealed that the space required to make Paris cyclist-friendly would mostly come at the expense of motoring. Under her plans, Paris was to remove 72% of its on-street car parking spaces. As for the new cycleways, the routes mirror that of local RER metro rail lines, including an express route for the use of e-bikes. Elsewhere in France, 116 towns and cities, including Lille, Dijon, Rouen, Le Mans, and Saint-Étienne, plan to build temporary cycleways for the duration of the current lockdown and the next few months. This is one of those industries, Christy, bicycle industry and bicycle shops, that is actually experiencing growth. Here in the United States, bicycle shops have been considered an essential business and have remained open. And I have family in the bicycle industry, and it has been really fascinating to see the uptick in people committing to cycling.
Well, and it's a great way to get some exercise. Moving like that helps to boost your lung capacity and your overall immunity. It's a win-win.
Yeah, transportation and health all in one. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, it lowers the carbon footprint, it lowers smog emissions and all of that. So it keeps our skies clearer as well.
I'm not 100% sure I'll be able to ride up to the office in Santa Barbara from here. I think those 40 miles every day might be pushing it with the baby in a buggy.
But what you need, Summers, what we need is to get a good rail line that you can just hop on the train and then have an e-bike you can rent and take it up to the office.
And just zip it up there. Agreed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our next story, which is from the finance section on the Optimist Daily. Skip the bureaucracy. This charity gives coronavirus research grants fast. It takes a really long time to get a grant for scientific research. Official advice from the National Institutes of Health, or NIH, which is the largest source of grants for scientific research in the United States, recommends that grant planning begin 9 months in advance of the deadline for the grant. Time surveys suggest that top researchers may spend as much as half their time writing grant applications. And that's an inefficient system in the best of times. During a crisis like the current one, when researchers in critical biology, medicine, and epidemiology want to attempt to answer pressing questions immediately, this timeline is disastrous. That's why, 2 weeks ago, Patrick Collison, the CEO of the payments company Stripe, and Tyler Cohen, an economist at George Mason University, launched Fast Grants. The concept is this. Scientists can submit an application for a grant in 30 minutes or less and get a response within 2 days. They can request between $10,000 and $500,000. The initial money was put up by some of Silicon Valley's biggest names, including Stripe founders Patrick and John Collison, Y Combinator founder Paul Graham, and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman. The response was, as you might expect, Fast Grants was immediately swamped by applications. After less than a week, a group stopped all applications. Having granted all $12 million, they may reopen applications if they secure more funding to distribute. Fast Grants are now funding a whole range of projects. Vaccine development at Kyoto University. A University of Toronto study to validate a saliva test for the novel coronavirus. A project at UC Berkeley to conduct a randomized study of spread and infection rates in the Bay Area. Research at Vancouver General Hospital to study heart injury in COVID-19 patients. A study at Stanford University to develop better point-of-care tests in 62 other studies. This sort of approach, giving out lots of money very fast with a very streamlined process for understanding what it makes a grant opportunity valuable, is called rapid response grant making, and it's a great way to get money into the hands of people who need it without all the bureaucracy. Of course, it also raises some bigger questions about the world's coronavirus response and the whole way we do science. Grant making in general happens slowly, and that's true of grants from foundations for philanthropy and grants from the government for basic research. The months-long process of securing funding absorbs the time and attention of people whose work is sorely needed. Wouldn't it be better for everyone if grants were given much faster? Well, this program is working to solve that. And I think it's interesting. I mean, this is my own commentary after this. I do think there's concern of money going fast and loose and losing accountability. And that's part of why it has been so slow in most past. Hey, if we can get some really good science done really quickly, it's worth it to have these kinds of programs.
That time, money, quality triangle that exists, Christy, and one does need to be measured in doling out cash for long-term goals. But in this situation, a massive influx of capital will accelerate. There will be some waste, of course, but it will accelerate opportunity. So I don't know if this is sustainable forever, just as you said, but I do believe and agree with you and all of the writers that right now this is exactly what's needed to solve this problem. Another thing that is needed to solve what the world is facing today is a reallocation of things like food. And from the business section of the Optimist Daily, this story is definitely taking that to task. Publix is buying excess food from farmers and donating it to food banks. The coronavirus has been especially hard for farmers around the country, with schools, restaurants, and other institutions closed due to the coronavirus pandemic. Farmers have been forced to dump milk and waste fresh produce. Fortunately, there are organizations around, like supermarket chain Publix, that are stepping up to help struggling farmers while getting the food to Americans who need it most. Publix has launched an initiative where it will purchase fresh produce and milk from farmers impacted by the COVID-19 crisis and donate the goods directly to Feeding America food banks that are in its operating area. During the first week of the initiative alone, some 150,000 pounds of produce and 43,500 gallons of milk are expected to be donated, the company said. Publix will purchase food from Florida produce farmers and southeastern dairy farmers through the initiative. It is kicking off Wednesday and is expected to run for several weeks, according to the release. In addition to the new initiative, Publix supermarket charities recently made donations, which totaled $2 million to help Feeding America's member food banks amid the crisis. The donations come at a time where food banks need it most, as millions of people are now out of a job and short of money. Christy, here in Ventura County, there is an organization that is doing produce boxes and delivering them directly to people's homes. And they're buying produce from our local agriculture businesses and that are impacted by COVID-19. And today, actually, we should have a farm box coming to our house full of fresh veggies and fruits, all from farmers who are otherwise struggling just here in this area because of the lack of industrial purchasing. This and other programs are just really, really exciting. And I love to see a company like Publix doing so much good.
Yeah, and I think other big grocery chains and other big food distributors, whether they're working with markets or restaurants, are starting to jump onto this because really there is a need. And it's a tragedy for food to go to waste. And if it's just about the logistics of moving it from one part of the country to another part of the country, and the food banks are really being impacted, there's lines of people waiting because unfortunately, it's a challenging time right now in this country. So
yeah, we can't pretend it is not a challenging time and that people are in need of food and in need of basic supplies. And this is hard, guys. We know. Yeah.
And so that brings us to our next solution, which I love. And this is from the ideas section in the Optimist Daily. And it's about a very important skill and coping mechanism right now, using humor as a coping mechanism for COVID-19. Over the past few weeks, most of us have found some relief from COVID-19 anxieties with the help of cartoons, memes, and jokes that we send to loved ones. If a daily chuckle is keeping you sane during these bizarre and frustrating times, you are not alone. Humor is a remarkably powerful tool for overcoming challenges. As we discussed in our Ode to Laughter view from a few months back, this is an article that I wrote with some of our staff writers. Laughter can reduce blood pressure, release endorphins, increase heart and brain health, and even boost your immune system. The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit that works with researchers across the country to study the benefits of laughter for emotional and physical well-being. Their research has found that simply anticipating humor can lead to a 39% reduction in stress levels, and workers are 2 times more productive after taking a humor break at work. Laughter is also contagious. Neuroscientist Robert Provine found that we are 30 times more likely to laugh if we're around other people. This may be a bit more difficult as we isolate, but finding ways to laugh with those we love is still possible, even during the pandemic. If you're isolating with other people, try watching a hilarious movie, sharing funny cartoons, or playing games together. If you're isolated by yourself, you can still share these experiences with someone via video chat or even just a funny text message. You can also schedule time to watch the same movie as someone at the same time in your own respective homes. The internet is the unsung hero of self-isolation. The vast resource for hilarious material can be essentially inexhaustible. Try following a couple of accounts that post quality humorous content. The New Yorker cartoon is a great starting place. Videos from comedians, talk show hosts operating remotely are good. A lot of those are available for free on YouTube. Lastly, if you're bored of your go-to shows on TV, try finding a new humorous show or comedy special on your favorite streaming platform. Maybe even create a group chat with your friends and share some hilarious favorites. Humor is a comforting resource shared by all human societies, and even other animals like rats laugh. And maybe this is why babies laugh even before they can talk. Laughter is our body's natural stress reducer, which is why we often turn to humor in times of pressure. We are facing serious challenges as a society, but that doesn't mean we can't lighten the mood with some laughter. And I just think this is so important, Summers. And one of the things that I personally am missing is those shared laughter experiences. And I like the idea of sharing a movie with somebody, even if it's watching remotely.
I remember just a month and a half ago, Christy, when our Optimist Daily editorial team sat around a table in Santa Barbara, sharing a bottle of wine or two, and we were laughing so hard, I think we almost fell out of our chairs.
I was crying with laughter that day.
Yeah. I am, and I love that it brings the smile back to you, right? Like, I'm laughing, and it just, I'm just warmed by the memory, and I'm so grateful we had that time together before this all began, and I don't know if we can simulate it again, but I do think our regular calls where we're checking in with one another and seeing one of our staff writers' pet rats or our editorial manager who's stuck in Costa Rica, who sometimes shows up to the meetings without a shirt on, and the humor that we can find with one another, even in the absence of sitting around that table. Fortunately, we have those memories to anchor to. And we know there's going to be more laughter ahead. So thank you, everybody, for writing this story and for really committing to laughter. Please, guys, this weekend, laugh with friends. Find ways to meet, talk, and laugh with your family. Find things that are funny. Our last story for today, because it's Friday and we're going to wrap up and send everybody off on their Friday adventures, is from the environment section of the Optimist Daily. Rare breeding event offers hope for ridge cactus coral populations. The Florida Aquarium Center for Conservation hopes to save wild coral populations by introducing lab-bred populations back into the ocean. The team had an exciting win this week when a ridge cactus coral experienced a rare larva birth. Ridge cactus coral suffers from stony coral tissue loss disease, which has depleted populations in natural habitats in the Florida Reef Tract off the southeastern coast of the state and in the Caribbean. Breeding programs and aquariums could be the key to saving this endangered species, but the coral is temperamental and usually only releases a small number of larvae over the course of weeks or even months. The aquarium has recorded 340 larvae since April 12th, with 7 to 45 new births each night. This surprisingly successful breeding phenomenon is a small victory for coral populations around the world, which could go extinct by 2100 due to climate change. The aquarium is collaborating with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Marine Fisheries Service to raise coral populations and reintroduce them to the wild. Hopefully, the successful aquarium breeding means that new ridge cactus corals will find homes in the ocean in the near future.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most chart new paths for all of us.
Consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Well, Summers, you know how it's hard sometimes to keep my rose-colored glasses from fogging up in these days, so...
Well, we can hope you have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much, Summers. Talk to y'all on Monday.
See you guys on Monday.